But yeah, as you can see, the thousands of action figures I have, I'm sure I'm not going to run out anytime soon.
So you like buy collections or?
Well, this is one collection.
Well, right, but you this yeah. is what you do.
Yeah,
you
go out yeah, and you buy collections, resell them. But I don't always do that with consignment sales. I'll set up a contract with somebody where it's still theirs. I haven't bought it, and I get a percentage of everything I sell. So they give them a check every 2 weeks, and it all works out for everybody. They maximize value that way.
Yeah. Well, you always got something new and cool.
Well, I've learned to do trades with the stuff I have. You know, stuff that's moving slow, I'll go ahead and do trades, stuff I know people want. And been able to add to my collection, too, a good bit. So it's been nice.
It's definitely entertaining to come here. Well, here we are again. This will be very special episode 3. I'm just going to stay on this very special episode tangent. Maybe we'll have a PSA about the dangers of drugs or bullying or something here in a little while. Anyway, the Scary Dad podcast with Scott Fontenot over here, Billy Stewart over here, the Scary Dads themselves. And tonight we're going to break from tradition. The last two episodes we talked about Halloween and scary movies, which is something we could talk about for hours and days on end. But today we figured we'd tell some scary stories and just have some fun with that. I don't know if you notice whenever Scott talks, he's got a little bit of an accent. He's not from here. I can't figure out where exactly he's from, so I figured I'd just turn it over to him to let you know.
Well, the bad thing is, whenever I'm with you, beer kind of brings out the accent, and that's why it gets thicker as the podcast goes on. I was born and raised in New Iberia, Louisiana, a small town outside of Lafayette, which is the closest metro area, I guess you could say. And just to give you an idea, New Iberia is where Tabasco sauce comes from. So if you've heard of Tabasco sauce, you know of my hometown. That's our biggest export, I guess you could say. Next to sugar cane.
It's good stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Tabasco's a good stuff. I prefer Louisiana hot sauce myself, which is from down the road. But the Tabasco has set itself a place in pop culture, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's everywhere. So,
well, welcome to Texas. Whenever we first met, we were having, you know, kind of sharing some stories. And part of my family actually used to live in Louisiana. And it was like great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother. They were like 16 years old and decided they wanted to get married, but I think they were 17. You had to be 18 to get married in Louisiana, but you didn't have to be any age in Texas. So they ran away and eloped. And
stayed.
Well, and stayed because great-great-great-grandfather didn't like great-great-grandfather. So he showed up at his daughter's boyfriend's mother's house with a shotgun, looking for the bastard that just stole his daughter. So they came over here and they stayed. So I've got I got family up and around like Beaumont, on into Houston. You know, people have moved around a lot because of the oil industry and stuff.
Right.
But you know, that's kind of. All because of a age of consent law.
Well, we've all had those kind of migrations in our family for different ways or another. It's really odd. I have a Creole background. My family's Creole, and areas like Raywood, Texas, has a very large contingency of Creole Fontenots that moved there at one point or another. The West Coast, San Francisco. I have a whole bunch of Creole cousins in San Francisco. My mom and dad were actually. My mom was from New Iberia. My dad was from outside of Opelousas, Louisiana. Probably back then, probably an hour and a half away were the speed limits back then. They met in San Francisco. They had to go. Both of them had to move all the way to San Francisco to finally meet. And like I said, wow. I have cousins that live out there now that they have deep roots. They've been in San Francisco for a long time. So it's weird how those migrations take place.
Oh yeah, it's small world. It's weird how you see when you're traveling. How you see people that you know.
Right.
You know.
There's some kind of connection.
Yeah, and people, it just happens, you know. Mm-hmm. We just recently, and I realize this isn't scary, but we'll get to the scary part in a minute. My wife had a work trip down to South Padre, and it was around my birthday, so I just hopped on the plane with her, and we went down to South Padre. So she had her meeting, and that night we were, you know, out of the hotel, we were across the street drinking at a bar, and hey babe, don't we know them? And it's like this couple that are friends, they're friends of her mom, so we see them at her house all the time and at events and stuff, and they were at our wedding and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And like, oh, but they were just down there like on a long weekend, just
right,
you know, drinking some beers or whatever, but it was just random coincidence. Like, oh, hey, we know you. That's kind of so, yeah, you never know who you're gonna run into. Sometimes the people you run into got run over a long time ago, and it makes things weird. So that's what we're gonna talk about today, is a little bit of ghost story, or, you know, maybe not necessarily ghost, but, you know,
those tales that, you know, every area seems to have. You know, wherever you're from, you have those stories, those common terrifying things that people talk about to explain, you know, the unknown.
And our buddy Bob was just in San Antonio on those haunted tracks.
Yep.
You know, everybody's got, maybe it's not haunted tracks, then they have the haunted street.
Yep.
Or the thing here in this area of town, this west side of Houston. There's always rumored to be like a witch's graveyard. We looked for it. It always, that little bit of logic in my head always told me, like, why would they like post up a graveyard specially for witches, unless it was like, you know, like the Potter's Field, like this is where the bad people go.
You shouldn't be able to find it anyway.
But yeah, we never found it. And then come to find out later on that there was actually, in the Bear Creek Park, there is actually a cemetery. Because we always heard there was this like, haunted graveyard off of Patterson Road.
Okay.
Which gets you into the park. And, you know,
yeah,
demystifying everything, you can look it up on Google Maps, and it's there.
Yeah.
And it's accessible. You can get to it on foot or by bicycle. But it just turns out that it was just actually like the little community graveyard back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then after they built the Attucks Dam and the kind of like the flood zone area,
right,
the communities all moved away from there. The graveyard got abandoned and trees grew. And so it's there. You could go to it, but it's not... It's not the grave of the High Witch.
Right, there's no hands coming from the ground.
But, you know, a little bit of kind of like a Mythbusters. Kind of like myth busted, but at the same time, myth confirmed.
Right.
The graveyard we were looking for was there.
It does exist. Well, the area I grew up in, we had our example of that was an area called Stone Road, which it was an actual road. It was a gravel road that was outside of Lafayette. And the way the legend went, there was a graveyard back there. And, you know, a long time ago, people lived on large sections of property. They had family graveyards on their property. They sectioned off an area to go ahead and bury everybody. And there was a family graveyard there, which, this is true, the headstones actually, they were illuminated almost at night. You know, I don't know if it was the way the moonlight would reflect off of them, you know, the material they were made of, but they did glow. You know, that's one thing I can attest to. I did see that. And there was a bridge back there on Stone Road, not far from those graves. And the way that it went, some kids, a group of teenagers had been out there drinking, which is what we used to go out there to do, and they died off the bridge. And if you went out there and called to them, they would show up and scare the hell out of you, signal it's a Bloody Mary. And what's weird is I never saw anything. You know, I had no reason to believe it was true, but I couldn't help. Every time we were out there drinking, I was scared to death. I just did not want to be there. It took me everything I had to get out the car. Normally I get out of the car for a little while, I just go sit back in it so that I'd be the first one in there if we had to take off. You know, I was riding shotgun and we were ready to go. We had the Stone Road thing. And every, like I said, every area has something like that.
There, yeah. Sometimes, you know, the rumors are generally going to be true. Now, whether or not there's something scary inside of the house.
Right.
I mean, it was never a rumor. I mean, it's quite popular. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Jefferson Davis Hospital. It's over off of, like, Washington Street. Like,
okay.
Right outside of downtown, kind of behind the Harris County Courthouse.
Okay.
There's a big fire. It's hard to describe exactly where it is, which is what made it so difficult to find if you didn't know where it was. Once mm-hmm. you found it, it was easy enough to get to. Jefferson Davis Hospital was the first, hospital in Houston, like the actual like medical.
Right.
Okay. Originally, it was a it was like a Confederate and slave graveyard. And they built a hospital on it, and this is obviously after the war.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they moved the bodies or if they just moved the headstones, like in Poltergeist, and plotted a building on it.
Right.
But they built this hospital. It was the first modern hospital in Houston. It was the Houston Hospital. Then they turned it into a mental asylum.
It's always fun.
Yeah. And then in the 80s, when Ronald Reagan like cut the funding to mental health stuff, they turned all the psychos out on the street,
right,
like nationwide, like, you know, smart thing to do.
They increased the homeless population significantly.
Yeah. Then it just sat derelict for like 30 years. And I actually had a buddy that was born in the hospital. He was born in like 75 or 76, like a year or two before they turned it into the...
I'm assuming it wasn't a mental hospital.
No, in the middle. Yeah. He's a little mental in a good way, if he's ever listened. So he's a cool guy. Shout out to Randy. But no, I mean, you can imagine all the kind of stuff that was... You know, that happened in there. And it was derelict. I mean, you had to used to be careful because they would keep it... they had, like, security that patrolled around it, not inside of it.
Right.
But, you know, we used to go and, like, time the security, wait for the little car to go by, and you'd, like, run up the steps and get into the building before the lights swung around. And it was, like, 3 or 4 stories. Obviously, all the glass was broken out, and there's graffiti all on the inside. Just generations of kids going in there and, like, creeping out.
Right. Well, I know there are some in some parts of the country, there are these old mental hospitals from the 50s and 60s that, you know, where all these horrible things are said to have happened, where they're actually doing tours now. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do that, just go check out, just for the creepy factor of it.
Well, if you want to go see Jefferson Davis Hospital, about 10 years ago, they turned it into apartments.
Okay.
They gutted it and turned it into lofts.
Yeah.
It's called the
Straight out of Poltergeist.
Called the Post-Rice Lofts now. And it is high-end apartment living.
Are there any stories about...
I went to a Halloween party there one time, right after it first opened, and there was some dude sitting around dressed as the Evil Queen from Snow White. That's about the scariest thing I've seen or heard of from there. After that, you know, I guess it just kind of died off.
Well, you know,
I dated a girl for a very short time who had a straight jacket that she got from there.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
That was sweet.
She's like, check this out. Like, we were talking about it. She's like, oh, yeah. Like, I'll bring it over next time and show you. Like, damn. She brought it over.
Try it on for me real quick. Let me see how it fits you.
No, but yeah, so, I mean, I wasn't the only one. There was lots of us that used to go and check this place out. But,
cool.
Haunted? Very likely.
Right.
Could it, you know, I don't see how it could possibly not be.
Right.
Of all places that could be, it should be more haunted than the apartment I lived in that was haunted, so.
But the thing about it is, I have no reason not to believe that the ghosts don't exist. That things can be haunted. Back in when I was just totally into this kind of stuff, there's a book by a guy named Rudy Rucker called The Fourth Dimension, Geometry into a Higher Reality. And it explains, you know, the existence of a fourth dimension that, you know, exists parallel with ours, but we just can't see it. And there's no reason to think that's not an area where, you know, lost souls could hang out that don't have anywhere to go.
Right.
You know, I've been in one building where I think some stuff happened, got real cold, and we never went back in that building again because it freaked us out. I used to work on a cruise ship that was for the Delta Queen Steamboat Company. And one of our boats, which, excuse me, was built in 1820, I think it was. It was a national treasure for the longest time. It was the only wooden water vessel allowed on waters in the United States. It was a treasure. The first female riverboat captain, she died on the boat. Her father owned the boat, and after she got too old to drive it, she moved on it. And she died on it. Her name was Mary Green. And the Unsolved Mysteries did a story about her because there were so many sightings of the ghost of Mary Green on that boat. You know, I had dishwashers from Ninth Ward in New Orleans that saw her, and it scared the hell out of them. They swore up and down that she really did exist. So,
see, I mean, like I said in the last thing, I don't know. I can't say with 100% certainty that I believe in ghosts, but I can certainly say that with 100% certainty, that I cannot say that I don't believe
in. Right. Well, that it's possible.
And I've seen things that are like unexplained. Mm-hmm. I've been like in situations where it's just like, there's just too much to be coincidence.
Right.
I mean, like I said, I had a haunted apartment, and I wrote about it in the Scary Dead blog, and one of the early ones, so you want to go back and look up my old haunted place, it tells it in more detail, but it was like this weird, and it, you know, you talk about the fourth dimension, I don't know if it was necessarily somebody who was dead, or if it was just like the spirit of the house, like, because it was like a party ghost, and like, it seemed to charge up by the presence of people. Like, it made itself known when new people were around, when things were happy and stuff. It wasn't an angry presence or an energy or whatever, but it seemed to have a penchant for messing with me. And so, like, what would happen is, like, the first night I moved in, so first of all, there's like this big ass, like, huge bottom floor of this duplex that was built in the 20s. So it had like hardwood floors and high ceilings and was all kind of dark and super cool vintage apartment. And I used to work nights. So I worked in bars and stuff. So I'd get off 2-3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, seeing the sun come up like 6 days a week was it was not uncommon. I'd sleep all day, work all night, or party. And so I got off work. We signed the lease on this place, and I had my old apartment. Got off work at like 2 in the morning, went and got a load of shit, and brought it back to the new place and unloaded it. And I was there, it's like, you know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. I'm moving in, putting my bed together, you know, doing shit. Well, the way it was laid out was kind of strange. It was kind of like a big open floor plan where you could just kind of walk around the whole house, but. So I had every door propped open so I could move things through, and I had every light on because it was in the middle of the night. And I'm in my bedroom, and you know those old light switches that like really take an effort to move?
Yeah, they click.
They snap real loudly. So I'm in my bedroom, and one of them snaps, and the kitchen light goes out. I figured that a bulb burnt. So I go in there and I snap it back on because that's what an idiot does. When the light burns out, the first thing you do is check the switch, right? Flip the switch, light comes back on. I'm like, whatever. Go back and I'm doing my thing. Like, minute later, it goes, snap off, snap on, snap off, snap on. And I bolted. Like,
I understand.
Got the fuck out of there, went back to my other place where my bed was on the floor at this one. I went back and slept on the floor at my old apartment.
You were not going to be the first one to die on Friday the 13th.
Right. I was the hell out. But then, you know, the sun came up and I was off the next day, so I got a little bit more, like, confident. It was kind of like, it can't get me in the daytime.
It's daylight, yeah.
Whatever it is. So, nothing really major happened, like, nothing scary or weird, but it was like when I was being in the shower. I would hear voices, and like, not like, but like actual, like, you'd hear the door slam and somebody go, anybody home? Or a female voice be like, hey guys. And I'd hear it in the shower, and I would stop my shower early and get out and go walk out, and there'd be nobody there.
Right.
And, you know, so I'd tell my sister, cause she was my roommate. I'm like, hey dude, you know, there's something in the house. I don't think it's, I think it might be a little bit of a dick, but it doesn't seem harmful. No. There's nothing. It's just your imagination. You're trying to scare me and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, boom! We hear this big loud crash come from her bedroom.
Don't doubt me.
And we go in there, and one of her, she's got this mirror on the wall, and the frame is broken, and it's like, and swinging from its, so she flips out. I was like, you know what? This is a prime piece of real estate. The rent's awesome. If it was going to try to do something, it would have done it by now. I don't think there's a whole lot of cases of death by ghost.
Right.
So I'll just give it the benefit of the doubt. It's going to have to deal with us being here and being loud. But little things, like the neighbor upstairs would vacuum her floor at 3 a.m. when she wasn't there. She dealt in antiques. She was kind of like you. She had a bunch of antique shit. Right. She would load up her trailer. She would leave on a Thursday, and she wouldn't come back for 2 weeks. And while she was gone...
Somebody was taking care of the apartment.
Nobody was taking care of her apartment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But, you know, we lived there for like 4 years. And even my dad. My dad used to come and hang out for a day or two. He'd spend the night. And he was like... You know, I'd come home from work, and he'd like have this like weird look on his face. He's like, "Where'd you go?" "I just got here." "What?" "So no, I was in the shower, and I heard you come home. You asked if I wanted anything to eat, and I said, yeah, I'll take a burger. And then the door slammed." I'm like, "Yeah, that wasn't me."
It was somebody.
So, I mean, what you gonna do? But, right. You know, we lived there for 4 years. I think it was, you know, whatever it was.
But the thing about it is, people that have experienced stuff like that, it's obvious that something happened. You know, because they wouldn't believe it to the depth they do or be able to describe it the way they do if nothing really happened.
Right.
Now, one thing that I've also seen is, growing up in South Louisiana, there's tons of stories based on superstition, on voodoo, on, you know, different things. You know, my family has been in South Louisiana pre-Louisiana Purchase for a tremendously long time. And what I have found is that most of the time these stories were a way to explain the unexplained.
Oh, yeah.
Two of the most common ones that I saw growing up within my family was, one was Kushma, which my son actually believes in Kushma. He thinks that Kushma is, you know, at his mom's house affecting him. Kushma was a way to explain sleep paralysis. Basically, when you were sleeping, Kushma would come and he would get on your back or get on your chest to where you would wake up where you were coherent, you were conscious, but you could not move any part of your body. Mm-hmm. And at that point, Kushma was trying to do something to entomb you. I've heard one girl told me a story one time where she opened her eyes and a brick wall was being built around her. And she knew it was Kushma. And she closed her eyes, wished him away, and he was gone. My mom actually claimed to have seen Kushma running through the front yard one time.
Oh, wow.
When she was a kid. And like I said, it was a way to explain sleep paralysis. You know, you want to avoid Kushma because Kushma, you know, could do some harm to you. The other one was the Fifalets, which my mom was a strong believer in the Fifalets. And there's different variations of this story, but essentially it was a way to explain swamp gas and lights that you would see at night. And what my mom felt as though a Fifalet was, it was the souls of dead children that would haunt your property. And you'd see these lights that would float around the property at night, you know, just look like almost like balloons, but illuminated. And she would say that my grandfather would run them off the property and shoot at them. And when he'd shoot, she says you could hear it scream, and it would take off and go away.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Oh, yeah, it was really creepy stuff. And the other explanation of Fifalets that people have is that, you know, in my family property that my mom grew up on, actually, I got tons of stories, ghost stories behind this, but Jean Lafitte, at one time, the bayou that runs through my hometown, it was a major artery for trade back in the day. And Jean Lafitte is said to have buried treasure along that bayou on my family's property. And the way the story goes is, you know, Fifalets are actually the souls of people that were killed at the spot treasure was buried. Because they used to say the pirates would kill people wherever they buried their treasure to protect it and to keep people away from it. And the way it went, if you saw a Fifalet, you saw one of these lights, follow it, and it will take you to the treasure. The only thing is, it would also drive you insane and potentially kill you to where you know nobody's gonna find you again.
If the ghost is posted to protect the treasure, you don't follow it to where it's gonna
right. It was gonna do you some harm. And I remember one story I remember growing up with is my mom told me during the 70s some people tried to find the treasure, and one of them ended up dead, and the other two ended up in a mental hospital. You know, that was she told me that it was gospel to her. I don't know if it was true or not, but she sure as hell believed it was. And to me, that's the way to explain swamp gas.
Well, I mean, there is the local thing around here. It's called the Blue Light Cemetery. This was a different, this is a different thing from the Witch's Cemetery. Because the Blue Light Cemetery, you know where it is. It's right at the corner of Patterson. Well, it's the corner of Patterson Road and Highway 6.
Okay.
Like, so if you're coming up Highway 6, if you're going north on 6 from 10, and...
Oh, it's right there on the right-hand side. On the right-hand side. Yeah.
that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, not you personally, but apparently that was a black cemetery. And up until it became a historical site, or I mean, obviously it's still a black cemetery, but that was the thing. So like, but it was, but there was swamp gas, and it would, people would go out there, like in that area near the cemetery before, like back in the day, mm-hmm. and they'd see a blue haze. They're like the presence of them would, so they got there, and my dad actually went out there and saw the blue haze and said it was scary. Like, they used to take their dates out there and, like,
yeah,
just like, and now I could be wrong about it being like the black cemetery and having that sort of, you know, like that was the allure, was like it was angry spirits,
right,
but I don't know. But that's just like the story that I've been told. Come to find out, the Blue Light Cemetery is not, it's swamp gas, sort of, but it's like methane that mixes, yeah, with the car exhaust, and when they mix, it turns it blue and illuminates.
And the density is probably heavier.
And, well, and then your headlights hit it, and it's blue, and, you know, so people used to go out there and, like, kind of a lover's lane, not necessarily in the cemetery, but around it.
Right.
And think that it was, like, you know, ghosts, and not realizing that it was the exhaust of their vehicle, mm-hmm. that was bringing it up. Debunking shit is, I think, kills a bunch of the romance.
Yeah.
This has been debunked since I was like 9 years old, and asked my dad about the Blue Light Cemetery, and he's like, yeah, that's what it is.
But it's like one of my favorite memes. Let people enjoy things. You know, sometimes
that's my thing. Yeah, you gotta, I mean,
some people like being terrified and scared. I do.
I know? Do. I don't always want to know the truth.
Right.
And it's not like one of those, I mean, people get angry and like the I'm going to call them, like, the militant rationalists that be like, you know, science! I'm like, well, you know, there's so much science that is legitimate science that sprung out of superstition.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a little bit of mystery in the world to make it interesting.
Right. Well, it's just like I was saying, you know, it's that part where you don't want to lose your imagination, you know?
No.
If you want to believe it's true, go ahead. Have fun with it. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Don't spoil somebody's enjoyment.
And, you know,
as long as it's not harming you, you know?
Exactly. If it doesn't hurt anybody else, and you're cool with it.
So if somebody's not running around trying to, you know, exorcise demons from people, you know, just let them enjoy themselves.
We'll talk about it next time, because we're running long. I actually had somebody try to cast a demon out of me before.
Shrooms, man, it does it to you every time.
Oh no. I was a kid, and
wow,
messed up story.
We'll definitely get to that one.
So but yeah, so we are about to hit the end of the road for tonight's ghost story podcast. This was just a little impromptu sort of jump in. We got together tonight, and we were like, hey, what do you want to talk about? And neither one of us had prepared anything. So we're like, shit, dude, we can tell the ghost stories all night.
Full of them,
we,
yes.
You know, I think next time we do a ghost story episode, we'll have a campfire and some crickets in the background, try to make it a little bit more realistic.
Yep.
But hey, I hope you enjoyed the episode. Hit us up on all of our social media stuff. Go to scarydad.com. Push all of the buttons. You don't understand how much that helps. Like us. And then hide us, if that's what you need to do, just so that those numbers tick up. We're going to try to post up in iTunes, so you can download us on an easier interface. Really and truly, what we need from you guys is feedback. We know right. that you're out there. We need to know that you're out there, and that you're living and breathing and pushing buttons.
And we'll know that with likes, with comments. You know, if you see this particular podcast on Facebook, come in with your own stories, you know, share some stuff with everybody. We're a big community. We want to hear each other's experiences.
So. Exactly. So that's your little pep talk, social media drive tonight. We're never going to harp on it too much. We're going to, you know, anything new that we come up with, we're going to try to share. But this is not a sales pitch. This is a storytelling podcast. So enjoy yourself, man. Keep it scary. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace out.